What's up, everybody? It's HVK again, and this is going to be the inaugural episode of Character Highlights. And Character Highlights, as I said in my previous podcast earlier today about what it's going to be, it's not just characters I enjoy. It's going to be characters I do not enjoy, or characters that just simply exist and what they can offer to people. Because one of the things that I find particularly fascinating about comics is the way that it fills the role of mythology in American culture. As being such a young country and being such a secular country that had came into prominence after the Enlightenment and all these things, we don't have the cultural mythology of, like, let's say, the Greeks with their pantheon of gods and the mythologies that surround them, like Hercules, or even the Nordic countries with the Norse gods and things of that nature. So we have kind of created comics to fill that role in a lot of ways, and I've talked about that before. And I think it's a very important role, because a lot of times what these mythological characters do for us in a cultural context is they demonstrate propriety in behavior and admirable qualities and things that we would want to strive to or live up to. You know, when you look at Hercules, for example, and he's got all this strength and all this power of a demigod, but he has to overcome these 12 trials that would kill a normal man. It's this idea of, you know, despite all your strength, you need to overcome ever more difficult tasks in life to really be to garner a feeling of accomplishment. Or if you look at the story of Jesus in the Bible, and I'm not saying Jesus wasn't a real person, I'm not looking to get into the discussions of that. I'm strictly speaking from the mythological sense. You have this person that this person that literally dedicated their life to traveling the countryside and trying to help all of those people around, anyone he came in contact with, for whatever reason. You know, he didn't reject anybody on any sort of basis. He always was trying to help people. And that's the point of those types of stories, is to give you a bit of a foundation early on as a child. It's the bedtime story that your parent can tell you, and you go, man, I want to live up to be that guy. You know, you hear the stories of Batman as a child, and it's like, here's this guy who loses everything, his parents, all these things, but he finds a way to constantly improve himself and make things better. And he has his flaws. All these characters and all these stories always have their flaws, and nobody's perfect. Even Jesus wasn't perfect, but they are things to look up to and try to aspire to. And they give you a foundation of things to look for in real people that you would want to take on as a role model or a mentor, right? And that's the interesting thing about when you flesh out characters in a very real sense, and they're not one-dimensional, is that there's a lot of things that you can take. Every character will have something that you admire and despise, because none of them are perfect. And that's what actually makes a character really resonate with people. But anyway, for this inaugural episode, I'm going to talk about my favorite character in comics. No, it's not Batman, surprisingly. Batman would probably be number two, if I really had to rate it, although he's my favorite character currently, because my actual favorite character, spoiler alert, is dead. But it would have to be Flash Thompson, a.k.a. Agent Venom. And many people, after seeing the Spider-Man movies, are very familiar with Flash Thompson, or at least some form of him, like you might see in the current MCU version, which is nothing like Flash Thompson, other than the fact that he is a bully to Spider-Man. But Flash Thompson was supposed to be your typical all-American jockey kind of character from the 50s, as Stan Lee portrayed him. And the interesting thing about Flash Thompson throughout his early years, because he didn't become a superhero until much more recent years, was that he didn't like Peter. He was a bully. But the interesting thing was he admired Spider-Man. He thought Spider-Man was awesome. But he thought Peter Parker was a wimpy loser. And it wasn't until after they graduated high school, they went to college, and when they were in college, that he kind of learned that he was being a bit of a dick. And you learn about a lot of the family issues that Flash Thompson has, and into why he lashed out in certain ways, and all those sorts of good things. But they kind of come together. And he ends up, after he graduates college, he ends up as a gym teacher at the high school that he used to go to over in Queens. And eventually decides that I am going to leave the leave my job as a teacher. The country needs me. He's been inspired by Spider-Man his entire life. He wants to do something to help a greater number of people. And he wants to, he views himself as somebody who is willing to put himself in harm's way and put his life on the line the way Spider-Man does constantly. And he decides that the country needs him, and he leaves his job as a teacher to enlist in the army. And he joins the army. I don't remember what unit he ends in. I believe it's the Rangers, but it's not really that important. And he goes to Iraq. And in the issue of Amazing Spider-Man 674, I believe. In the issue of Amazing Spider-Man 674, it is revealed that he lost both his legs. He's actually shown as Agent Venom earlier on. Agent Venom is first introduced in Spider-Man 654, I believe. But we don't get the full backstory. Like, they tell you eventually what happens once it's revealed that Flash Thompson is, in fact, Agent Venom. But he doesn't... You don't actually get a visual of the story until much later. And basically what happens is Thompson is... His platoon is ambushed, and he suffers several bullet wounds to his legs, where he ends up taking a drug that the insurgents take to, like, overcome fear, but it's like a painkiller as well. He takes a drug to try and save his CO from danger. And in the comic itself, he narrates to himself, like, what would Spider-Man do? And by continuing to move his legs and use his legs that are bleeding out and that are suffering all this tissue damage, he ends up needing a double amputation, loses both of his legs. And he falls into this depression. Well, it's later revealed that he's given an offer because he wins the Medal of Honor for his efforts, and he's given an offer by the government to be part of something called Project Rebirth 2. Now, Project Rebirth was the name of the program that brought Steve Rogers to become Captain America, that with the serum and everything. Well, the government had managed to get its hands on the Venom symbiote, which had been going through a lot of transition. It was with Eddie Brock, and then Eddie Brock was suffering from cancer, and him and the symbiote ended up having a disagreement. The symbiote left. It ended up captured by some mob bosses, sold on an auction. The symbiote was very mishandled for a number of years, and it eventually landed with Agent Venom. And when I first saw the character of Agent Venom introduced, and you don't know who it is at first, all I could do was roll my eyes because I'm like, oh great, another knockoff Venom character where they're just going to use the symbiote, they'll have him attached to him for a little while, and then they'll shift it off and move it to someone else. And I ended up so much in love with this character because, again, his story resonated with me. But let me continue on with his story first before I get into why I enjoy this character so much. So he ends up as Venom, and the story arc then becomes this transition of a man who has fallen into depression because he wanted to help people, and now he can't anymore because he lost his legs and he feels useless. So now he has an alcoholism issue. He's dealing with a lot of family issues because he had issues with his father from the past. He's an alcoholic, falls into a bit of a depression. He has a lot of emotional instability. He has a tendency to be angry and things like that, and the suit can ramp up those feelings and cause him to lash out very violently. So the suit ends up... He constantly needs to take this chemical cocktail that will keep the suit in a docile state so it doesn't affect his mental state, but he also doesn't gain as much power from the suit as you might normally see. He's got a very cool appearance where it's a much more militarized look. And he is introduced as he's introduced, I believe, in the Carnage USA storyline, and he's sent in as a secret weapon after all the event. Most of the Avengers are taken down. Carnage ends up using his symbiote to mind control a small town, and the Avengers get sent in, and because they're not trying to hurt these average people, they end up being taken down themselves. Well, they send in Flash Thompson as what they call Contingency C, and he ends up working side by side with Spider-Man a few times. Spider-Man never learns who he is. He ends up working with the Guardians of the Galaxy for a little bit. He ends up on the Secret Avengers. He moves. He ends up dealing with his own version of the Sinister Six called the Savage Six. He has his own version, basically, of the Green Goblin in Jack-O-Lantern, which is another Spider-Man character who was usually like a relegated joke kind of character. And they really transition him into a much greater threat, which is awesome. A much more psychological threat, since physically he can't compete with Venom in a lot of ways. He fights an old Hulk team called the UFOs. He ends up on the Thunderbolts with General Ross, the Punisher, Elektra, a lot of the more violent kind of heroes. He teams up with the Scarlet Spider at one point to fight Carnage. And without going through each story individually, because I don't want to do that, the overarching narrative of his story is this transition from being the super soldier, where he'll shoot people and he will do things like, at one point, he cuts Carnage's head off. Like, he will do those things. He always leaves those options as a last resort, but they become a last resort. And he transitions more from this super soldier to a superhero, where he's focused more on saving people rather than the mission objective in front of him. And there's goods and bads to that. I'm not looking to discuss that part of it. But it's this very interesting arc of this self-redemption. A lot of people kind of counsel him and talk to him along the way, but he has this story of self-redemption where he breaks himself out of his depression. He breaks himself out of his alcoholism. He and the suit actually have a heart-to-heart, like he's almost talking to his own darkest side. And this is where I want to transition into what I was saying. So I draw a lot from this. I've said before, I'm inspired by characters like Batman. It was one of the reasons why I constantly try to improve myself physically and mentally, why I'm always reading something more, why I'm always working out 5 or 6 days a week, why I want to always learn something new about the world, about myself. But I also accept the fact that I feel as though I need to impose a lot of self-discipline on myself, on my mind and body, because without it, I feel like I might not be that good a person. And that's nothing to do with my upbringing or anything like that. I think you should just know yourself and be honest with yourself. And I think deep down inside, I have to put a lot of effort into being a good person. And that's not even to say that I'm successful at being a good person. I'm just saying that I have to put a lot of effort into being the good person, or at least the attempt at a good person that I am. And the idea of personifying Flash's dark side with the Venom symbiote, and the idea that just chemically neutering that side of yourself doesn't actually help anything. That you actually have to face your demons. That you actually have to face the dark side of your own personality and come to terms with it. Come to an understanding. And then in a way, use those darker tendencies that you might have to bolster yourself and build yourself up into something better than you were before. I find really inspirational. And the fact that this is a character literally that speaks to me on a very personal level. He's inspired by another superhero. Granted, superheroes aren't real in our world, but if I'm inspired by Batman, he's inspired by Spider-Man. And he looks at the world. The world needed people like him that were willing to do the dangerous work that no one else wants to do. The world is always going to need the people that at the end of the day are willing to run towards the gunfire. And I don't care what you do in the military. Let me make this very clear. I don't care what you do in the military. Because at the end of the day, if the shit really hit the fan, it doesn't matter if you're an accountant, a cook, infantry, flight liner, whatever. If the shit really hit the fan, you're going to get a weapon, and they're going to say the front line's that way. It doesn't matter what you sign up to do. Everyone in the military, it's why it's called the armed forces. Your job may not be a combat job, but at the end of the day, if the shit really hit the fan, each and every one of us are. And so I just want to make that perfectly clear, because I want to follow it up with this statement. You'll always need the people that are willing to put themselves in danger for whatever reason, whether it's to get money for college, whatever the reason is, they still were willing to sign up and say, I will run towards the gunfire. And when I see a character like Flash Thompson, he was looking at a time of need. The country needed him. The army needed him. People needed him. So he enlisted. He saved lives at a great personal sacrifice. And now he has to deal with the demons of what he experienced, what he the crippled position that he's left in, and he fights through that. There's a lot of internal fortitude. Like, he falls from grace for a bit. He becomes an alcoholic. He has these violent outbursts, these angry outbursts, where he yells at people and he self-pity and all these other things. But he eventually moves on from that, right? And he develops a different form of addiction where he depends on the suit too much, and he has to overcome that as well. And there's a lot that I draw as a parallel to that. There's a lot of understanding yourself and understanding how to better yourself and understanding how to move past your obstacles when you're not necessarily talking to other people about them. Stuff that's going on in your head that other people will never know about, that you may never be comfortable talking about. But you find a way to get past it and move on. You find a way to build strength out of that weakness. You know, like I've said it before, I've even said it in this, but I drew inspiration from characters like Batman, as ridiculous as it is, and I've never lost my legs or anything, thank God, but when I'm reading this story, and I'm reading this story about a character that drew inspiration from another, I'm like, this is me. This is the applicability that I talk about. I'm reading this character, and I could very easily transplant myself in this situation. Not for fantasy machismo power trip purposes that some people would say, oh, well, what you're doing is a male power fantasy and blah, blah, blah. No, it's got nothing to do with that, because I understand what those are, and I understand when it's happening to me. This is different. This is, you know, you find the cultural mythos that speaks to you, that you can follow. It almost feels like it's a narrative of your life, right? That's almost like what this feels like. I understand the motivations of this character. So when he would make certain decisions, if it's written well, I understand why he would make certain decisions. Now, granted, he wasn't always written well. There were times, there were issues where I'm just like, what the hell is going on? This is not the same. Issue to issue, it's like, this is not the same character. But he had a short run. It was only 42 issues. So it's a very easy run to read. It's only a couple of volumes if you happen to be interested. But it's very, very, it's a very, very applicable character, in my opinion, because that's something that resonated with me. The story, I felt like, paralleled my life, and it resonates with me. And I encourage you that when you look into fiction and things like that, don't just look for a good story with a good message. See if you can find a character that resonates with you on that way, and not a character that resonates with you. It's like, man, I would love to be that guy. Or don't power trip on it necessarily. But do find the character that has those parallels, that has those moments where you're feeling like the story could be about you and your life and situations that you've been through. I know it's a little sloppy. I'm going to work on the format of how I want these episodes to go more. I don't want to necessarily just do a history of the character. I want to talk about some of the more intuitive elements to it, some of the more analytical elements to it, not just, oh, well, in this issue he did this, and then in this issue he did that, and then in this book this character did X, and in the next chapter the character did Y, because that's boring. But this is a character I'm very passionate about. Unfortunately, Marvel ended up, spoiler alert, it happened years ago, so I don't know if it matters anymore, but Marvel did end up killing him off. Right around the time the Venom movie was coming out, they killed him off in order to give the Venom suit back to Eddie Brock, because, of course, you have to make things as topical as possible in today's world. So Flash Thompson is currently dead. Whether or not he stays dead, who the hell knows, because they say no one ever... There's only three people that have ever stayed dead in comics. Batman's parents and Uncle Ben. So we'll see if he ends up staying dead. I personally... If he does return, and there are moments they used him to inspire Eddie Brock as well. The suit remembers him. They still reference his character and everything. And that's a great dynamic between Flash Thompson and the suit, because it's very different than with, like, Eddie in the suit. And the suit's name is Venom, but it's hard to delineate because the host ends up using the name of the suit as their superhero pseudonym. So it's like, it can be a little confusing to keep track of there. But the dynamic between Flash and the suit, Flash always referred to the suit as partner. They were in it together. You know, the yin and yang of his own body, and they were in it together. Whereas Eddie looked at it more as almost like an emotional companion. Almost like he was more emotionally invested in the suit than Flash Thompson was. It's a very different dynamic. It's hard to, me personally, maybe I'm not smart enough to put it in the proper context, but it's hard for me to describe, but there is a difference in the camaraderie in how the suit and the host interact versus Flash Thompson versus Eddie Brock. And Flash's interactions with the suit are very, very interesting in a lot of those ways. Yeah, I know this is probably not going to sound like the greatest episode, but this will be the inaugural episode of Character Highlights. After I get a little bit more of a rhythm on how I want these kind of episodes to go, I may very well revisit this character and do it with a more appropriate format. But like I've said for a lot of the things, these are constantly evolving in how I want to do this. They are constantly evolving in terms of how I want to format things and make things better. Because I do want to reach people. I'm not looking to get anything out of this other than just to reach people and maybe drum up interest or conversation. I would love to eventually, you know, if there's enough of a fan base out there to get people onto, you know, whether it's Discord or Skype or whatever, and talk to people about the things they like and the things they don't like and give criticism and praise where it's deserved, or even talk about cultural issues or, you know, I hate calling them political issues because politics is nonsense, but the cultural aspects to it and different perspectives, subjective reality versus objective reality, things like that where we generate a lot of the issues in the States. But as well as the nonsense stuff, movies and video games and all that stuff, hopefully we can grow and get to that point. But I can't do it by myself. I can help and hopefully try to put out something good that people want to share. But I just ask that you guys share it around, even if it's just retweeting it or linking it somewhere and saying, hey, check this stuff out, in case anyone might like this. Because like I said, at the end of the day, I want to reach people and I want to talk about these things. And I want to talk about things I enjoy, not stuff that really pisses me. I think too many people are hung up on outrage these days. They like their anger. They like feeling virtuous anger. And I like talking about the things that are inspirational, that make me want to push myself every day. So I'm HVK. That's our inaugural character highlight. I know the end there I got a little off topic. I apologize, but like I said, this one's a little disorganized. I'm going to try and create a better format moving forward now that I kind of have an episode to blueprint off of. But you can reach me at Twitter or Parler at HVKAmericanon. Links will be in the description, or you can reach me via the podcast email, hvkamericanon@gmail.com. And I'll talk to you guys next time. You guys stay sane out there.